Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Priscilla McKinney, who is the CEO of Little Bird Marketing. Priscilla has been featured on numerous podcasts, is the president of American Advertising Federation Heartland, and has received numerous design, entrepreneurship, and industry awards. Today, we're going to be discussing Priscilla's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Priscilla.
Thanks. It's my pleasure. I love to be interviewed by a fellow podcaster. This is exciting.
Very exciting. Yes. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Wow. Okay. Well, what I think about laying in bed on Monday morning and what's going to actually get me up. It is never the same. Like there is never a day that seems like it was just like yesterday. And I guess I could say one interesting thing about me as a CEO and what motivates me. I realize how I tick internally is I'm one of those people who really is good at like gamification of things. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see that result. I do this, this happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I've learned over the years about what gets me going and what inspires me is that I want to see that difference. I want to see the movement. And so having moved a lot of things in my company toward dashboards and real KPIs and, key performance indicators and thinking about what are the objectives and key results, and then actually getting to see them achieved on a dashboard is super interesting. Right before I came into this podcast, I was talking with my executive VP, who is, by the way, completely amazing. And she does inspire me and get me up to do this job every Monday. Yeah. But she and I were talking about the actual number that we have in monthly residuals. That is a number I look at all the time. And I'm mm-hmm. seeing it, you know, up and down. And obviously, I'm trying to see it grow. So sometimes when you lose a client, and then you're like, okay, well, what are we going to replace that income with? Or are we making, you know, a marked uptick in this next quarter on that particular, just on that one item, if we were to isolate just that one item from our business. So I guess I would say it's that, it's not really that number, that's not motivating me, but seeing that the things that you're doing are actually moving the needle. That's what gets me going.
I love that. That's awesome. And so tell us a little bit about your story of, you know, how you got into digital marketing and then, you know, your decision to start Little Bird Marketing.
Wow, that's a crazy one. Well, my degree is actually in cultural anthropology. So for some people that may not make a lot of sense, but actually, you know, cultural anthropology or the study of humans and how we interact and how we work with our social cues and what is the norm and how do we behave and how do we agree we're going to behave. It's actually a really strong basis from which to think about digital marketing. Yeah, because there are really powerful unconscious experiences that we're having and dialogues we're having in our own brain as we're making decisions to buy something or abandon a cart or never give a brand a chance again. Whatever it is, positive or negative, these are all stories we're telling ourselves internally. And so as a cultural anthropologist, I can look at that as humans and say, yes, but how are humans going to behave when presented with an opportunity? And so that really goes into the strategy for marketing and, how we can actually leverage what we know about how humans work and get them to do the behavior that we're most wanting. And obviously, for good or for evil, obviously behavior also that they want to do.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense. That's awesome. And then, so what was that, real deciding factor that you wanted to start your own agency?
I think I've always had it in me, this entrepreneurial spirit, and I know all entrepreneurs feel this way, but yeah. Even when I worked for someone else, I wanted the autonomy to have really kind of an entrepreneurial spirit about the thing that I was doing. And so I wanted that autonomy. Now I just have radical autonomy. And I also, coming with that, is what I refer to as the stunning discomfort of entrepreneurship. I mean, it is stunning. It is so hard. It's harder than you think. It's incredibly hard to grow and scale a company. I'm in the throes of really bringing us from, you know, from 20 people to 30. It's a very difficult time for us. It's everything is nitpick. You know, it's all about processes. It's, you can't abandon culture as you're doing processes. You have to hold people accountable. I mean, there's just so many, you know, pieces of it. So as far as like my, you know, why I actually wanted to be an entrepreneur, or what I just have this incessant like curiosity about, how do you make money? Like, as Andy Warhol said, is he said that the best form of art is the art of business. And I find that super interesting, especially being a creative content company. Here was this amazing, you know, creative who really changed, you know, the art scene, but yet the business of it was incredibly interesting to him. And so I'm that weird straddle the creative, but also the business sense. And I love that game of making money and bringing your expertise to the right people. And everything that I've said about myself, I'm really interested in how to do that for my clients. And that's why it's really the best job for me, is because I get so motivated about how do I make money, but I get incredibly motivated about, but how does my client make money?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I get to do it not just for my company, I get to do it for 80 companies.
That's amazing. That's so cool. So how do you take care of yourself, you know, as you are, you know, growing this, you know, really large agency, you know, how do you, you know, deal with burnout and just, you know, juggling all the tasks and really make sure that you are taking care of yourself so that you don't burn yourself out?
Well, if I knew that, I'd be in much better shape. I'm not going to pretend that I do that super well. I mean, last year I ended up in, you know, in a heart procedure, and there's things that happen in your life, you know, that are more difficult. And I definitely am that kind of person who comes more at it from, you know, a lot of elbow grease, pull up your sleeves, get it done. I'm definitely a working president, a working CEO. I got the highest compliment I think I could ever get from my longest term employee said last year, and during a strategy meeting, he was addressing the rest of the team. And I know he didn't realize it, but at the time, but he gave me the biggest compliment. And he said, I've never worked for someone else, a boss who works so hard as Priscilla. And,
that's so cool.
You know, for me, it's not a martyrdom, a badge of honor, like, oh, I work harder than anyone else. And I know very easily in our society where everybody's like, self-care, you know, don't burn out, you know, all these kinds of things. I know it's very unpopular for me to come from the other side to say, just get it done.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess, you know, it's like, to me, there's no one answer. And that's kind of what drives me crazy about people like, oh, you have to completely self-care. You're always first. And I'm like, no, that doesn't work. And your business first doesn't work either.
Yeah.
It is an everyday, very complicated juggling. And so I really shy away from these, you know, these very binary, you know, views of what it takes to be a CEO. Sometimes you are so pressed and it is going on a season that is incredibly hard, and the only way out is through. And then sometimes you get a break. And I think the keen part is understanding when you do see that window and you can get a break, you take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so well said, because it's true. You don't have that luxury of really having that complete self-care aspect dialed in as a CEO of the company. But yeah, you know, you just got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And like you said, when you have that window, make sure you take advantage of it. Almost like when you're a new mom and the baby's sleeping, like
the baby's sleeping, you sleep. That is totally a great analogy. And I also think the other piece of that is that everybody's journey is different. If there's another CEO who's like, self-care is first for me, great. Yeah. I'm happy to support you in that. That's not my story. But also I have an easier life, I think, than some other people. My husband is has been a stay-at-home dad and is an incredibly supportive part of my journey. I don't go home on the weekends. I don't cook. I don't clean. I don't do laundry. I he homeschooled the kids, you mm-hmm. know, when they were in elementary. Like, I have such a massive amount of support that I feel I can run at a different level. And so to me, I feel like you just kind of can't judge someone else's life from, you know, when you don't really know everything else there. And, you know, so I kind of think that sometimes we get in that conversation right now in entrepreneurship, and I think people are either, you know, ticking someone positively or negatively based on those answers. And I just kind of think, you know, it's their journey. Yeah. It's their way that they want to do something. And of course, we need to take care of ourselves, and we have to be able to, you know, balance both things. But for me, it doesn't come in the form of constant routine. It's not always the same. And I can't be sure that I'm going to get, you know, this or that done. I'm going to do the best I can with today.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. So when you were first starting out, what were some of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome in those early days?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges that CEOs and entrepreneurs don't think about at the beginning is that one of the biggest challenges you have to overcome is yourself mm-hmm. and your knowledge of yourself and your ability to very quickly self-reflect mm-hmm. and make adjustments. And so when you come up against problems, you know, one of the things that helped me the most was being able to say, okay, this problem is happening. How am I contributing to this? You know, am I the person stopping this? What am I doing to exacerbate the situation? You know, and so, you know, at the very beginning of it, I think one of the things that helped me the most was really being able to self-reflect and also cut yourself some slack. Like, you're not going to do the entrepreneurial journey correctly. It's like, it's such a shit show sometimes. And totally. Especially at the beginning. I mean, if you think about the stats, you know, almost no company makes it, you know, and I'm past 10 years, which I'm beating the odds for sure, yeah. you know? Yeah. And as we go into the multi-millions, you know, and we did several years ago, you know, it gets harder in some ways and it gets easier in some ways. And so sometimes when I come home and I'll say, oh, got this problem. And my husband's like, there's always something. It's never done. It is never done. And so, you know, kind of just being willing to understand that what you're doing today is not ending it. It's going to be a different issue tomorrow. That can help an entrepreneur get through those very difficult first years. So I don't know. I guess I'd kind of say sometimes it gets better, but it's just different problems. It's just always yeah. morphing, always changing.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. How did you bring on those first few clients?
Oh gosh. You know, when I first got started with Little Bird Marketing, I was actually, I owned a separate company that was a credit card processing broker. And I still own that company. I don't really do much in it. At this point, it's just my husband's paycheck and moved over to Little Bird Marketing, but I do still have clients there. So, I was doing that, but on the side, you know, companies were saying to me, owners were kind of pulling me aside and saying, oh, you know, these credit card fees are high. And I'm like, what? Well, it's a cost of doing business. And I was like, well, I could go through and I could either lower your cost of credit card processing, but that's a finite thing that we can do. There's only so much you can lower. The cost is the cost. Why don't you instead use that energy and say, how could I make more money? How could I generate more revenue? For example, I remember telling a owner of a spa, I was like, well, you know, we can keep saving you money, but how about make more money? I said, well, what's one of your biggest challenges? What's the day of the week that you have the lowest income? And she's like, oh, Tuesdays for sure. I'm like, well, why don't we create a campaign where more people will come Tuesday? We incent people to do behavior that is good for you, and that's good for them. We can make it good for them. Let's give them some kind of an offer or a value add. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't like to discount prices. I like to give more value. Without even knowing it, I was constantly giving marketing advice and giving the starts of really successful marketing campaigns. And every day I would come home from work and I had given free marketing consulting, my husband would be like, you talked to somebody about marketing, didn't you? Because I was so much happier. I was so much more alive. And it was this recognition. And so because I didn't have a marketing firm, I was referring that business for marketing to a friend who did. And so, yeah, so she was like, oh my gosh, all my best clients come from you. Mm-hmm. And so I was getting a small cut of what they did and just kind of teeing them up, and it was good for everybody. And when she went to move, she was like, why don't you buy out my leasehold improvements? Why don't you just take over where I was at? I was just really taken aback. I didn't quite see it. I was so myopic in my view. And so I took it over. Kind of long story short is our entire creative studio burned to the ground 3 weeks after our F5 tornado hit our town here in 2011. So I watched it all burn to the ground.
Yeah.
I rebuilt it. I renamed it. And we started from there, started from, you know, from the beginning. And this is my sign that's behind me in the podcast room that a friend gave me. It was just today, begin. And it was just a reminder, you know what? You can start over. Your entrepreneurial journey goes up and down. But if you choose to today, you can come into your office. And even if you don't have a current office, you can put in your own, the office of your mind, and you can say, today I'm going to begin. What is it I'm going to begin?
Yeah. Great words. I love that. So, you know, fast forward to today, how are you now bringing in leads into your agency and closing those prospects?
Well, leads really for us, you know, come in while we're sleeping, which is the good news, because
that's amazing.
We are a digital content company that specializes in creating lead generation systems that are sustainable and predictable for B2B businesses. So if we can't do that for ourselves, then we certainly are not going to be able to do it for anybody else, right?
Yeah.
So we get our leads in, and the way that we get leads in is by providing really undeniable value in content and learning. And our motto there is ABH, always be helping. How can we be helping our most ideal client and building rapport with them and saying, look, you don't have to work with us yet. Just let us do a couple of favors for you. How about this? How about this? How about this? And we keep doing wonderful things for them to the point where then they actually finally raise their hand, fill out a form and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Can you just work with us?
Right.
And that is the system that we create for other B2B companies, is to say it is better if you completely operate in your expertise and stay in what you know and keep providing value with what you know and let people come to you, because you don't want to market to everybody. You don't want everybody coming to you. The moment that you're marketing to everybody is the moment that you're marketing to nobody.
Yeah.
So how we get leads is, you know, through our, we have our whole HubSpot system. We're a platinum HubSpot shop. And so we create these downloadables, value, we create blogs, we create videos, we create fun quizzes, we create whatever it is that the most ideal client needs in order to help them in their journey. And that is the thing that builds the rapport so that people will reach out. And that way they're actually raising their hand. They're ready. You know,
yes.
And we're not interrupting people, and we're not, you know, trying to, you know, be salesy with people who may not be ready for us. And we do that same thing for our clients.
That's really interesting. So how long do you think it takes to really build trust with someone and get them to raise their hand, you know, while you're delivering that value to them?
Well, for every company, it's going to be different, but I would say that a solid 18 months is a good rule of thumb for content marketing.
Interesting.
And the bigger your value proposition is a lot of times dictates a little bit of what that looks like. For example, you know, it's very common that people the first year they work with us, it's $100,000. It's anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000. Nobody's going to make that decision the day after they met you.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just not going to happen, right? We kind of joke around here because we had a 2018 event in Chicago. And I was a speaker there. It was somebody else's event, and I was a speaker. And we joke around about that particular event all the time, because we now have had millions of dollars come through that one speaking event. And sure enough, this was back, like I said, in 2018, but sure enough, earlier this year, we had someone reach out and say, you know what, I think we're ready to talk about what this could look like. They bought from us, we're done, we created the campaign. I mean, it's all done as of now that I'm talking to you, but yep. We were laughing so hard because we were just like, oh, that event again? Oh, that gold, that little gem?
Yeah, you know? So cool.
some of these past things, because we don't just go to an event and then let it sit. These people then have a way to subscribe to us, and we nurture them. Whether that is 3 weeks after we met them that they're ready, or it's 3 years later, the same thing is true. You have to have given them enough fodder. You have to be constantly creating enough content where you're providing value in that relationship. Now, of course, a lot of businesses want to shorten that time frame, and there are a lot of strategies to shorten the time frame. But for us, that's been, you know, we barely can keep up with our growth. It's been perfect for us. And it's about also getting really meaningful. We know that we're getting our most ideal client. We're not getting everybody or saying yes to everything. It's about really saying, no, we want to work with the people that we really provide the most value for, and we can show the biggest result for them on their P&L.
Yes, exactly. Okay, interesting. So I know that you guys are growing quite quickly. So do you have any productivity hacks to help save both you and your team time?
Oh my gosh, we are productivity like queens and kings Wizards. Over here. I really think one of the things where people may not be a good fit working for us is if they're not productivity focused. And we have an incredibly high accountability factor here at our company. And I think it stems from the fact that I myself am an entrepreneur. And so I'm very mindful of our resources. I'm certainly not cheap with our resources, but I'm mindful of them. And that's very different, thinking that in the past, marketing companies and marketing retainers were very loosey-goosey. Like, you're paying, you know, thousands of dollars a month to a marketing company on retainer. And a lot of people are scratching their heads and being like, what are we getting for that?
Yeah.
Our contracts are incredibly deliverable oriented. Yes, they're over a whole year, but I can tell you exactly how many blogs, exactly how many social posts, exactly how all the things that you're going to get, we will at least deliver that, and we will over deliver. But these are the very minimums that we're going to give you. And right. So because we are so contract and deliverable oriented, we have to be productivity oriented. So people joke a lot that our checklists have checklists, but we work on Trello. Yep. And that is we've built our entire SOAR system on that framework. And that really helps us all work together and be able to identify what's going on. And it also keeps our client informed. They should be able to sleep at night. We joke around that we are a sleep improvement agency. And they should be able to say, oh my gosh, what happened with that? You know, we've got an event coming up in New York. Where are we at with that? They should be able to go to that board at midnight, if that's what's keeping them up, and go look and go, oh, never mind. Okay, they got that done. It's all done. I didn't realize it was all done. And they should be able to have that sense of confidence and that sense of peace about the marketing work that's being done.
That's really interesting. And then, so tell me about the SOAR system and how that works.
Well, SOAR really is our proprietary system. We've built it, and it has all kinds of small deliverables, large deliverables, but everybody could crib this from me. You don't even have to ever work with us. I find that people in marketing are either doing the wrong actions, right? So they're doing the wrong things, or they're doing the right things, but in the wrong order.
Interesting.
So what I mean by that is, you know, if there's things that are correct to do, it should be in this order, which is S-O-A-R. First, strategy. Do not go anywhere else. I don't care how tiny that social media post is. Don't write it if you don't know what your strategy is.
Right.
And by strategy, we can go very deep into who is your most ideal client, what hashtags, where's your competitive moat, keywords that we should be using. There's a lot to it, but you have to get your strategy done first. Once you get your strategy done, you need to organize it. And that's where we tend to use a mix of HubSpot and Trello. And we say, look, that's fine, but before I get working on it, I want to know what the whole brief is. I want to organize it. When is this going to be done? Who's going to do that? Like, we need to be able to organize it to an exact department, an exact person, and say, okay, that is something that we can see. What are all the steps that belong to this project? And make sure we enumerate those before we get started.
Okay.
The A is accountability. And what that means is, after we get all strategy done and we get it all organized, inevitably, I don't care if it's 6 minutes later, 6 weeks later, 6 months later, someone raised their hand and go, oh, I have a great idea. We're going to blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. is it a part of our strategy? And can we organize it? And sometimes in the organize it, it also is a question of bandwidth. Can we organize it to get it done within the right time?
Okay.
And so that accountability, in my opinion, is really where we start empowering companies to be able to say no to opportunities, because marketing isn't just about saying yes, 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 yes. Sometimes it's about saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to spend our money there. We're not going to spend our resources, because guess what? We haven't finished the 18 other things that we proposed that we would do.
Yeah, makes sense.
So getting some things done is super important. So SOA, so accountability. And the accountability is not only, hey, can we get it done? But it's also who's doing it and what date does it need to be done? Like, we need to hold everything accountable to that.
Okay.
And then the R is repeatability. And this is where a lot of people like to start. Like, what's been the best in the past? Well, if you weren't measuring things in the past, how do you know what is the thing that worked for you?
So
it's like
true.
That. Old, you know, marketing saw is like, you know, 50% of your advertising budget is wasted. Unfortunately, you just don't know which 50.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an old nugget for a reason. And so you have to be, you know, measuring things as we go along. And what we find is that the first year that we're working with someone, we don't get to the R until the end of the year. And now we have all of the benchmarks and we have all of the reports in order to say, okay, next year, what can we double down on and what do we need to stop doing?
Interesting. So when you are, you know, when you're pitching to a new prospect, is this something that you're sort of selling as a way to really differentiate yourselves from other agencies? Is this system that you guys use?
Oh, 100%. And people even can go look at what is SOAR or why have a system. We have that completely enumerated out on our website. But like I said, SOAR, you could crib it and use it in your own system. But 100%, this is a proprietary system that we've built. It is our key differentiation. And we really have two value props out there in our world. And that is SOAR. Now, we do have two different flavors of that. We have SOAR DIY, where we teach your team, your marketing team, how to use SOAR, or SOAR Done For You, where our team of experts not only do the strategy and get it set up, but then we actually execute it every month. So
that's cool.
We do either one of those. But the other value prop is kind of on the other end of the spectrum, and that is that we have courses where we teach cohorts, and we bring teams through learning how to become social influencers in the B2B world. So our very first course there is social influence, and it's what I joke around as couch potato to 5K, but for LinkedIn.
Awesome.
So it's about, yeah, creating an effective marketing, you know, system for the company and activating that. But then the other proposition is, now how do we activate all your people around that same marketing, you know, strategy? And once a company gets both of those things right and flowing together, there is just no stopping them.
That's huge. So interesting. So where do you see Little Bird Marketing in 5 years time?
Well, I have an exact strategy plan. I've got a 1, a 3, a 5, and a 10 year. So,
very cool.
Yeah. So by the end of this next year, we should be, you know, about 30 people. You know, there's obviously, we have numbers that are our growth numbers, but more than anything, we serve a vertical. We serve the market research industry really, really strongly. Probably 70% of all of our work is in the market research industry. But you know, we work in B2B. That's our specialty. It doesn't matter. We have some metal services company. We have an insurance company. We have, we do have some other services outside of market research. But what we're really looking to do is make sure that we are really providing that strategy that sets people apart from their competitor in a way that their competitor cannot catch up. So we feel that way too. Where's Little Bird Marketing going in the next few years? I think we're growing big. We have a goal of eventually being 100 people. And, you know,
incredible.
we have numbers that go to that. We're about half and half remote and here, in the office. But I think it's about making sure that no matter how we grow, that we really are still delivering that ultimate value for our clients and being very, very true to our core values and being very true to that system, because that system, in my opinion, is the most interesting thing, the art of doing amazing work in business.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And then, so I know we are almost at time here, but could you talk a little bit about those core values that really impact your clients and your team?
Yeah. Well, our core values are very simple. They're care deeply, and that means that we care deeply about our own professional development. We care about our coworkers. We care about the company and where the company is going, and we care deeply about the clients. We don't, misuse their resources. We think about how we would use that money and what would really, make a difference for the client. So yes. That's care deeply, which we also refer to as give a shit. And then our next one is finish strong. I really believe that anybody can have an idea. Marketing is not really a discipline of having ideas. It's a discipline of executing on those ideas.
That's
and
good.
So any idea worth having is worth finishing strong. And so for me, that's get shit done, right? So yep. A lot of people can keep giving ideas and ideas and ideas, but when does it ever get done?
Yeah, exactly.
The third one is stay gold. And that really is about, we feel, Little Bird Marketing has a high brand standard, and the companies we work with have a high brand standard. We're known as best in the industry, so we need to be best at conferences. We need to be best on planes. We need to be best to each other. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we stay gold. And that is be the shit.
Yeah.
And the last one is be true. And that's about really... making sure that we're always being as transparent as possible with each other and with our clients, and also being true to our industry. We want to give back to the industries that are good to us. As you mentioned at the very beginning, I'm the president of the American Advertising Federation in this area, and that takes time. It's a lot of volunteer time. I believe in always being helpful, and I believe in actually being true, to the industries that are important to sustaining you as a company.
Yeah.
But also being true means, we're going to make mistakes. We've got to be true to our clients. We also need to be true in the industry. We don't want to be those people who show up at conferences and stir the pot. No, we want to be true, and we want to always be talking about good things. And so for us, that be true is, we kind of refer to it as don't talk shit. Just let it go.
Yeah.
So care deeply, finish strong, stay gold, and be true. Those are our core values. And that's really what dictates how we do what we do every day.
That's incredible. Those are really unique core values. I think that's really interesting and innovative. So is there any, final words that you would like to share with our listeners that you think would be, just helpful for any agency owners who are listening?
Well, anything that I would say about your business is, doesn't matter where you're at in your journey, process, process, process. When you're very small, process matters. When you're growing and it's just things are hectic, process matters. When you're trying to really scale something into legacy, process matters. So, yep. I know it might get exhausting, but every time that you can create a template or a checklist and still be able to deliver to your people a value to say, look, the template and the checklist is our starting point. And then we still need to critically think, does this really apply to this next project? But doing everything you can to create standard operating procedures is, to me, a huge value. And so don't get exhausted. Don't get frustrated with setting processes. I guarantee you, as soon as you finish writing one standard operating procedure, you're going to need to write the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, we are now going to move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
100%. I would recommend Traction. And this is the EOS. This is the entrepreneurial operating system.
Yeah.
Let me get that correct.
No, it's such a good one.
It really is. And we're run off of Traction. And then right now we're going through reading What the Heck is EOS with our team. And so every other week is our all company regroup and different people, just like kind of like a book club. And it's just really giving everybody an opportunity to see, what is this company run on? What is our strategy? Talking about and leading from our core values is really key. So I would highly recommend that book if you haven't read it yet. If you're doing anything remotely to growing a business, to me, that is a must read.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
I saw that you sent that question to me and that you use this as a rapid fire one. And I'm like, I'm going to blow that one apart. I'm just not a person of routine.
Okay, interesting.
I'm very free flow. And so I'm antithetical to those CEOs that are like, I do this at six and I do this at this. You know, there are some things that I really try and fit into my day. I do meditate. I can't go for a walk every day, but gosh, I'd love to. But so I'm not a person of routine. And so my morning really looks like a response to whatever the rest of my day is going to look like.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. That's why I love asking these questions, because you get such a varied response. Because yeah, some people are just, you know, all about the routine, and yeah. And then, you know, other times life just comes into play, and yeah, you just got to figure out what works for you. Right.
Exactly.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, there's one that I met this last year. His name is John Dick, and he's the CEO of Civic Science. And I've been working with them, the team, they're amazing. But one thing that I love about John as a CEO is I personally think he is a fantastic writer. And okay. That is very hard to come by. you know, I'm the CEO of a content marketing agency, so I do think that compliment like means something. But he does have an amazing wit. He also has a terrific mind and an understanding of what's going on in a very complicated consumer environment right now. But he has a way of not complicating something that's very complicated and really helping you understand really what is at the core, what is really what I need to know as a business owner to move my brand forward. And people can find him at civicscience.com. I would 100% recommend that you sign up for his Saturday email. First of all, you'll laugh so hard. And I hate to call it a newsletter because, oh my gosh, as soon as I say newsletter, it sounds so boring. I can't wait till this missive arrives in my box on Saturday morning. And my husband knows I'm going to read it out loud to him.
Awesome.
The science that they do is amazing, but he's such a great writer. And I think he provides so much value as a CEO. So I really aspire to achieve what he does.
Good to know. So you can sign up for the newsletter at civicscience.com, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
Well, as I mentioned, we're a platinum HubSpot shop. So of course I love HubSpot. We built our source system on Trello, but I'm going to give a really great tip for everybody. I mentioned how important it is to create standard operating procedures. Mm-hmm. And we this year found an app called Tango. And what it does is when you are actually trying to teach someone, oh, this is what you do to get this job done. You click here, click here, click here, click here, you know, and you're like, oh, now I got to go write all that up. Well, instead, you can actually open up your screen, start Tango, and then you can start clicking and do the job. And what it does is it processes and does a write-up of whatever it is you just did, giving someone a play-by-play, and voila, your standard operating procedure is all written up. Of course, you might want to add some visuals or do something else to it, but oh my gosh, this is saving us so much time and energy and just like really giving us so much brain, you know, damage, you know, cells back.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a needed tool. So yeah, that's awesome that you guys have found that. And what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I don't know that there's something that I wish I would have known. I think it's just such a journey. I think if you had told me something now that I know now and told me then, I don't think it would have made any sense to me.
Yeah.
I think the only way out is through, and you just have to decide if you want to do it. Nobody said it'd be easy. Nobody tells you just how hard it's going to be, but you know, I think the idea that, you know, that you would have done something different. I don't know. I don't find that super helpful for the entrepreneurial journey. And I don't mean to throw that, you know, question right back at you, but it did make me reflect, you know, would something have made the difference? But the sheer surprise of it and the total, like I mentioned, stunning discomfort of it all just can't be mitigated. Maybe I would have said to myself, just be a little patient. Everything takes four times as long as you think it will. Maybe that would have helped me. I'm not totally sure. But it's that lack of patience that you have that really drives you as an entrepreneur. So if I'd gone back and solved that or told myself that then, I don't know that I would have the get up and drive to do it, because in some ways, being an entrepreneur just doesn't make any sense. Like, don't get more facts, don't get more logical about it. It's so hard. And you wouldn't undertake it if you really knew all that it entailed.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Priscilla. It was a pleasure to really pick your brain and learn about your story and have you share your insights with us. So thank you again. And yeah, we really appreciate it.
I love it, Julia. Thanks so much for having me on. And I just got to give you one shout out. I know how hard it is to be the podcaster, but if you did value anything that I had to say here, go out and give Julia a great review out on Podcast World, wherever you're getting this podcast. I'm telling you, there's a lot of work here. And I just really appreciate you having me on, Julia. It was super fun.
Thanks so much, Priscilla.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.